Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest here on the Sourcing Hero podcast is Anna McGovern, the Chief Supply Chain Officer at the Food Bank for New York City and a Supply Chain and Procurement Evangelist. Her career highlights include time in the private sector as well as nonprofits, but every single role has given her an opportunity to apply her talents and further her own mastery of complex networks, stakeholder engagement, inventory management, and more. Now, we are especially lucky to have Anna joining us this week on the day before Thanksgiving to share her knowledge as applied to the problem of food insecurity in New York's five boroughs. So, Anna, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure to be here, Kelly.
And I can actually say with a great degree of confidence that I am the first person to say this to you, but I would like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
And the same to you. It's amazing that we're already at Thanksgiving.
Oh my goodness. So for people that are meeting you for the very first time, can you share a little bit more detail about your background and professional experience?
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So as you mentioned, I'm currently the Chief Supply Chain Officer for the Food Bank for New York City. It is one of the largest nonprofits in the country, serving about 1.6 million food insecure New Yorkers. Prior to doing this, I spent my entire career in the corporate sector, predominantly at Unilever, where I spent 23 years, and also in the beauty industry, where I worked as the head of supply chain and procurement for a couple of years. Most of my background is in consumer packaged goods, all of it in the end-to-end supply chain, half of it in strategic procurement, strategic sourcing, source to pay of all kinds and manner of opportunity. So in terms of how I spend my typical day, nowadays, it's really about figuring out how to put out twice as much food as we were normally designed for since the pandemic.
Wow.
So it's been quite a challenge. So we're essentially distributing anywhere from 120 million to about 140 million pounds of food. And, you know, quite frankly, it is challenging given today's environment with transportation challenges, you know, competition for labor, competition for drivers. So it is, you know, really about managing one crisis after another. And that's how I typically manage my day. And it's all done with lots of heart because the people I'm surrounded by are just absolutely phenomenal. They're so committed to the mission that it makes it such a pleasure for me to go to work each day.
Now, I want to say one piece of what you just said back to you, because to me, this is sort of a mind-blowing thing for a person that has never really managed a kitchen beyond, you know, three kids, a husband, a cat, that kind of thing. You said 140 million pounds of food. Did I hear that right?
You did. 140 million pounds of food.
That is almost a hard thing to conceive of, just what the volume of that means.
Yes, it's approximately 120 million meals when you think about it. It's 1.2 pounds of food per meal. And, you know, that's serving somewhere around 1.6 million New Yorkers. It's 20% of the population. They're food insecure and they're either, you know, underemployed, unemployed. They're just doing what they can to make ends meet. And, you know, we're there to fill the gap for them. It's been tremendous since the onset of COVID. Things are tapering, but the need out there is still tremendous. And we continue to do what we can to get our hands on as much food as we possibly can. You know, food recovery, food waste recovery is a huge part of the mission.
Now, when you and I spoke before, one of the things that you pointed out caused me to rethink a word that I'm going to admit for almost the last 20 years, I think I've just mentally assumed that I knew exactly what it meant. But when you talked about your perspective on what sourcing really means, it really made me pause and think. Now, in your context, what does sourcing mean to you and your team? And how do you think that might differ from how someone in corporate procurement thinks about it?
Yeah, it's different. And Kelly, like you, you know, my entire career up until the recent past has been in corporate. So mm-hmm. I used to think of sourcing the same way you did. Nowadays, you know, I'm looking for opportunities with the team, with my team, you know, to put nutritious food on the table, to be able to offer, you know, our neighbors in need the opportunity to shop with dignity. And so therefore, we want to give them a nutritious plate of produce and protein and grains and dairy. And so what we mean by sourcing, there are different ways to source food, either through government grants, through corporate grants, or through private donations. And we're very blessed to have partners that are part of that recovery supply chain. So, you know, whether it's Trader Joe's or ShopRite or Target or Stop and Shop, any of the big grocers, you know, we've got Feeding America has a national agreement with Starbucks. So Starbucks every day, whatever they don't sell gets boxed up and sent to us. We go through it and we repack everything that they send to us so that we can distribute it to seniors, to families with children, to veterans, to all sorts of constituencies. So what we mean by sourcing is getting those food products that are nutritious that we can then distribute through food agencies that are either food pantries, their soup kitchens. They could be disaster relief partners such as hospitals or campuses, you know, for schools. So sourcing does take on a completely different alternative. It's not about, you know, finding, you know, the right price, you know, for a product. It's really about finding nutritious sources of food that are going to be redistributed to people in need.
Now, we continue to work in very disruptive times, right? And it doesn't matter what company size, what part of the world, what industry, even what job title you hold, everybody is dealing with some form of disruption right now. And so mm-hmm. the stakes are high, right? Nobody wants to mess up at work. But when I think about that in your context, to me, the implications of mistakes or worse, some kind of actual failure at a food bank are terrifying because the consequences are so human.
Right.
What are the unique complexities that your team faces specifically around things like logistics and inventory?
Yeah, Kelly, this is a great question because, you know, the supply chain is the supply chain. Distribution is distribution. It doesn't matter what your tax filing status is. And because we're a nonprofit, you know, we're competing against everybody else, whether it's for labor or logistics or trucking or whatever it is. We have to sell ourselves in a uniquely different way. And really, when we're trying to compete, the differentiator for us is the mission. We attract people that are attracted to our mission, not our ability to offer a salary or a set of benefits. Although that's important, the key, again, is really about the mission. Most of the people that have worked for us or are working for us, whether they'd be drivers or whether they're you know, professionals in a warehouse, such as selectors or pickers or dock workers, they are there because their heart is into it. Most of the people that work for us have at one time or another been part of that food line themselves, either them or family members or neighbors. They're a part of it. They've seen the people there. So they're coming to work because they know every day that they come to work, they're making a difference and they're making an impact. And if they make a mistake or if, you know, inventory is misallocated or misselected, yeah, you know, someone is going to go to bed hungry at night. And that really is the key differentiator. You know, our drivers consider themselves food ambassadors who know how to drive a truck. It's a huge distinction.
Absolutely. And whether it's drivers or volunteers or your leadership team, at the same time, you're also now going through this process of transitioning people back. So, you know, I'll say air quotes into the office, right? What right. has the process of bringing volunteers back in person been like?
Well, you know, it's funny because the last week of September was the first time we welcomed back volunteers since the pandemic. So a good 18 months had passed, and we brought in people. We had about 140 volunteers from a couple of different organizations. We brought them in, you know, they were all outside under tents. We didn't bring them inside of the warehouse because we're still guarding against COVID. Mm-hmm. But the energy, the amount of energy that was present just at seeing volunteers once again, you could lift the warehouse off the ground, you know. It was really energizing. It was uplifting. You know, to see people working so hard. I mean, we put them in teams repacking boxes for seniors, and we put them through a simulation exercise, which was extraordinarily powerful. We took them through a simulation of what it's like to have to stretch, you know, very limited dollars through the end of the month. And, you know, what it's like when you get down to that end of the month and you still have a week to go and you have to make a choice. Do I buy food or do I buy diapers? Do I pay the rent or do I buy food? It's a very real problem that, you know, therefore, but the grace of God go I or we. And quite frankly, it was so powerful. People were absolutely in tears thinking, wow, I am making a difference because these are real problems that I'm solving on a day-to-day basis. So that's really the key. And now we're in a position where we're bringing back volunteers on a weekly basis, you know, for repacking activities again. So we're bringing them in, you know, in small contained groups, you know, 15 to 20 at a time per shift. And we do bring them to a specific area of the warehouse. You know, we're still contending with COVID, although things are a lot better and much more in control. We do still guard against that. And we make sure, you know, masking and vaccinations and everything else is all in compliance.
Sure. And just to ask you some more questions specifically about your warehousing. So I'm assuming you've got frozen versus refrigerated versus grocery areas. Are you managing all of that within one facility or is it separate and it comes together, as you said, at those repacking events?
Yeah, no, it's we've got three distinct areas. We've got dry, we've got cooler product, and we've got frozen product. So each of those things are a separate operation within one warehouse facility. It's about 90,000 square feet or so. And, you know, we've got, it's not a very big place. You know, it's probably designed to put out about 70 to 75 million pounds of food a year. And the team is just incredible. We are a machine working with our agency partners and working collaboratively so that as inbound material is coming in, we're turning it around and pushing it out as fast as it comes in. We don't have a whole lot of cooler space, so that is our biggest constraint. Okay. So it really is this constant, collaboration conversation that's going on. Okay, this is what's coming in. You know, here's our schedule of inbound for the next 2 weeks. This is what we need to get out. Here are the agencies that can take what. I mean, I'm amazed at what a well-oiled machine it's been in terms of that collaboration and that constant communication, getting stuff out the door.
Well, and especially when you're coordinating volunteers, right? I mean, people management is the hardest part of any business. But when you're bringing in people that are motivated by the mission, as you've said, it means you're bringing in this unbelievable mix of personalities and skill sets and interests. And for you, I have to imagine figuring out how to not only group people around tasks that need to be done, but also, okay, I'm going to, you know, now I understand the strengths that this, you know, unique individual brings in. I'm going to make sure to leverage them over here because that's an area we have a need. It's sort of like a supreme people management and understanding experience at the same time.
It really is. You know, our volunteer engagement team has such a good, grasp of the kind of people that they're bringing in. And, you know, it really is about leveraging people's strengths. So I've spent the majority of my time making sure that, we're looking at people, evaluating them, looking at their strengths, looking what they bring to the table. You know, I've often said it's easy to teach supply chain. It's easy to teach food sourcing or procurement. What you can't teach is commitment, dedication, and heart. And as long as you have that, you know, managing to people's strengths and then managing to their areas of opportunity becomes an easy part, right? Because they're willing, they want to do the right thing.
Well, and being a good procurement supply chain person, you've also brought us some really interesting numbers. So we've already talked about the 140 million pounds of food and the 120 million meals, but you also mentioned that 20% of New York City is food insecure. And depending on where in the country or the world somebody is listening to this conversation from, that may be a startling statistic. So if I can actually just start with, you know, what does it actually mean to be food insecure? And then based on your experience, how would you say that 20% figure compares to what maybe you had seen in advance of the pandemic?
Yeah, it's a startling number when you think about it.
It's now, huge.
It really is. And, you know, what I've learned is that, disasters when they come on. So when you get a black swan event, such as COVID, such as a Hurricane Sandy or Hurricane Katrina, what happens is there are many people that are unaware of the resources that are available. So what winds up happening is you've got a baseline of people that, you know, are dependent on the resource, whether it's, you know, SNAP benefits or, you know, formerly known as food stamps or what have you. What happens is there's a baseline and then disaster hits, mm-hmm. and then the word gets out, and then the population starts to recognize that there are resources available. COVID brought on, you know, many first-time families. People lost jobs overnight. People who couldn't afford to buy food, you know, lost their jobs and they had nowhere to go. So they had to turn to food pantries, soup kitchens, and food banks. So, you know, over time, what happens is the numbers settle back. So you don't expect to be distributing that many pounds of food again. But what happens is people who didn't know about the resource before stays knowing that there is a resource to help them. Mm-hmm. So it will never get back to 70 or 80 million pounds. Okay. It'll settle somewhere around 100. And that has happened with every major crisis. You know, the baseline starts to shift as more people become aware of the resources that are available. And, you know, to the credit of our, federal and state and local government agencies, there really is a lot of food. So, it started with the Trump administrator. It has continued under the current administration. So the USDA, to help farmers and to help those in need is, you know, allocating a lot of resources. They buy food from local farmers, they buy them from local dairies, and then they're distributing that food to state agencies who then allocate it to the food banks across the network in the country. So that's how this sort of thing, happens. But the major cities around our country, you know, have plenty. New York is not unique. So whether it's, you know, South Florida or whether it's Houston or San Antonio or LA or Chicago, you've got these kinds of numbers across the country. So New York is not unique in that regard.
Now, Anna, one of the things that I ask every single person that joins me here on the Sourcing Hero, I actually think you're probably better qualified than most to answer this question, although I've loved every single answer that I've ever gotten, is based on your experience in all sectors, right, over time, What does the idea of a sourcing hero, or if you prefer something broader, a procurement or simply heroism in a business context, what does that mean to you?
You know, Kelly, I have been so blessed over the last 13, 14 months that I've been in this job. People will do anything. You know, there's this adage of hashtag all in. The people that work at this food bank are all in. If they lose a foot, you know, they'll sew it back on and get up and come to work. So what it means to me, these are people that just come in. They're so dedicated. They have to get the food out, whether it's by hook or by crook. They will get the food out, and they mean it because they've been there. So to me, a sourcing hero in this context is really making sure that no one goes to bed hungry at night. And I've seen it because our clients, what I would have known as a consumer in my consumer packaged goods world, what I know as a consumer, they are there, whether it's a senior pushing a cart or whether it's a mother of three pushing a stroller, you know, they're walking, they're standing in these lines and they are ever so grateful. They're just so ever so grateful to receive what we want to give to them. And watching my colleagues do what they do, no matter what, no matter what the weather is outside, no matter what the circumstance, they come in to work and they do their thing. And that is what a sourcing hero means to me now. And it's those that are working in food recovery, you know, so that we don't waste the food that we normally do in our normal supply chain. That is getting recovered and distributed to people who really need it.
Now, if people are interested, I'll ask about you in a moment, but I want to get this in first. If people are interested in learning more about the Food Bank for New York City and potentially even helping, if people are feeling inspired this week as they're getting ready to sit down to an overwhelmingly sumptuous meal with family and friends, where would you suggest people go to learn about either the food bank specifically or food insecurity in general?
Okay, well, I would suggest a couple of things. For people that are in the local New York area, please go to foodbanknyc.org and you can get all the information that you can. You can reach out to me directly. I'm on the website. Or if you're part of, the greater U.S. population, please go to feedingamerica.org. We are part of the Feeding America Network, and you can look up whatever your local food bank is through the Feeding America Network to get more information. There's tons of resources and tons of ways that you can help by going on feedingamerica.org. And, I thank anybody who wants to volunteer their resources, time, talent, treasures. It would be greatly appreciated.
And I know you mentioned the website, but for fellow procurement and supply chain professionals who want to get in touch with you directly, what is the best way for them to connect?
You can reach me on LinkedIn, or you could email me direct at amcgovern@foodbanknyc.org. The best way to get a hold of me, though, is through LinkedIn.
That's great. Anna, thank you so much, first of all, for putting the mission first and applying your skills and your expertise to addressing food insecurity. But thank you also for being here with me today on the Sourcing Hero podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for The Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well, and always remember that you can be a hero too.